Thank you so much, Farth Amin, and welcome. I am so happy to have you join us and to share your wonderful experience. You have many talents, and today I am so glad that I grabbed you to find out about your top marriage tips, and definitely with your experience of over two decades of being married and looking at how society has impacted our marriages. And I know you deal a lot with the feminist movement and just sort of nitpicking it and seeing the pros and cons. I wanted to ask you some questions, and I guess we'll start off, you know, with the first question, which is, what would you tell your younger self about marriage?
Okay, well, Jazakallah khair, Zakia, for inviting me. It's my honor and my pleasure, alhamdulillah. And if I can share any advice that benefits your listeners, alhamdulillah, you know, all good is from Allah, and any all mistakes are mine. So yes, your first question. Okay. Well, I think the main, I think the main thing would be that I shouldn't have allowed, you know, outside influences to affect my marriage. Now, this might resonate with other people as well, that sometimes that could be through people, in that people interfering or feeling that they can comment and give a judgment on your marriage. And so that could be whether that could be friends, that could be family. And I think we should keep, don't let other people interfere in our marriages, you know, even if it's well-meaning. You know, a marriage is, you know, between you and your husband, and people shouldn't be nosy. And really also, we can sometimes make this mistake that we tell other people our, you know, problems that are happening in our homes. We'll talk about our husbands. And I understand that, of course, you know, and I know I've been guilty of this, that when, you know, when you've got a problem or an issue comes up, you want advice, you want to talk to someone. Now, alhamdulillah, in Islam, we should get advice. Well, first of all, actually, number one, we should always make dua to Allah. Yep. And because only Allah can solve the problem. Mm-hmm. And so first, that's what we should do. And if we are going to get advice, we should get it from people who are going to give us that advice based on Islam. It should be grounded in Quran and Sunnah, because you know, if we're going to, you can go to your friend and talk about your husband, because you know they're not going to criticize you. They'll always take your side, and they'll always say, "Oh no, no, you're in the right and he's in the wrong." But you know, that's not Islamically. That's not the right thing to do. We should go to someone who they will tell you if you are in the wrong. They will tell you, and they would advise you nicely. So I don't know if you've had that. You know, keeping people, don't allow, invite people into your marriage that have no business being there. So that would be one thing I would say to myself, because I would have saved myself a lot of, you know, because when I think back, a lot of the advice I got was really bad.
That's so true. And I just want to hop onto that point, because, you know, I was actually writing a post about this, and I can't believe you just said that, because that's exactly what it was. One of my main points was that, you know, we tend to vent to our girlfriends, and we think it's okay because everyone's doing it. Like all women, most women I know that I've been close to, their husbands come up. And I just realized it after a few years that you actually backbiting your husband.
Yes.
And if you had to do that to your close friend, she would be livid. But we do it to our husbands like it's nothing. And why is that okay? You know, but if you do it to a best friend, which is lesser than your husband, it's so small.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I will say also to that point you said about they're not going to give you good advice, I've also learned that when you rather go to a coach, not, you know, I'm not fond of marriage counselors talking with the couple together, you know, sort of bringing out the bad in each other. That will never bring intimacy. I think, like, find a coach, you know, who's somebody whose main goal is to problem solve, and they specialize in that. So I wish somebody told me this also. You know, we think our friends are there as a support to make us feel better, right?
Mm. That's right. And the thing is that, seriously, they are not, they have no, I'm thinking back, they had no qualification whatsoever. You know, they just, I just knew them. That's what it was. And
they fear for you. So they, like you said, they're always going to be on your side.
Yes. Okay. The second thing that I would advise myself is that don't compare my marriage to other people's. And I know that's, I don't think back then there was, we didn't have, you know, as much social media at all. But even then, you know, you'd see what people, other people had, or what you, well, what the public face of what people's marriages were. And even sometimes other people would talk about, again, the whole idea of talk, you know, where women would get together, it's people would talk about each other's marriages. And then it was just so easy to think, oh, my husband doesn't do this, or her husband, so this or that. And the thing is that, we have no idea, again, what goes on behind closed doors. And I think nowadays it's like just ramped up like 100-fold because of social media, with people constantly, you know, I don't think we should. My advice again would be to everyone, don't post photos of your husband, of your family. There really is no need, you know. If you, I would say you should really check what is our intention when we do that. Because you don't know who is looking at those pictures. That's your family. That's your private life. Just because the rest of the world is doing that, we don't need to blindly follow them. And so, comparing, it doesn't lead to happiness, because you and your husband are individuals. You're unique. Your experiences are unique. You know, the amount of rizq Allah's given us is unique. So even just the way we look, it's incomparable. So that would be the second thing that I would advise myself, because I don't do that now. I don't actively go and look and try to get into other people's marriages. Maybe I was bored, and when you're young, you have, you know, more time, and you're curious. Now I'm not interested at all.
That's an excellent point. And I think if you simply took that out of your life, that comparison, you'll notice that you're just so much happier, because like you said, you don't know exactly. Like, you might see the good thing, like you said, on social media now, you know, you see, oh, my husband bought me this, or look at a beautiful house, but you don't know what it took to get to that point. And I think we fail to just look at the bigger picture. I think women also, we just tend to be like that with one another. We compare our lives and ourselves and our looks and everything. It's just, I think, a nature of a woman. But you're right, it's not even to say we can't control it. I think it's just a innate need we have inside of us to do that. So the best thing is, maybe like you said, you know, don't show all your barakah so that you don't have to deal with all that, you know.
And I remember speaking, like, the thing is that no one who posts the horrible, not even the whole, well, actually the horrible or the ugly or the unhappy sides of marriages, apart from our, you know, if someone's getting divorced, you'll see them kind of anger posting and ranting, and that's not a good look at all. But the way social media is and platforms, it's there to get attention. And why do we want to bring attention to our marriages and our husbands? You know, it's like showing off your crown jewels. Why would you do that? You know, what's going to happen? You have to think of the consequences of this. But I remember speaking to two people, who one of them, she'd moved from one country, moved countries. So she left her family, but she got married, and then she goes, when she was looking at all her friends back home, she said their lives seemed so much better than hers, that she's now on her own. And she's, you know, isolated from her family, and everyone else is having so much fun and having these amazing parties and weddings and things like that. And she goes, and she started to really resent her husband, that, oh, I got married to you and now I'm all alone and everyone else's life is amazing. And she goes, she got really depressed. But then when she called one or two of her friends, and she goes, and she said they were actually going through some hard times. But she goes, if you looked at it, their marriages were so much better than hers. And she goes, that was a real eye opener. And and then again, unfortunately, it was someone else who, again, they were saying that they went through, it was basically, unfortunately, their husband was cheating on them. But she goes, if you had looked at my social media at that time, she goes, I'm posting photos of my husband sending me flowers, my husband giving me gifts. And she goes, it was, I didn't want people to find out. Or she goes, I was putting on a show. And really at home, she goes, I was going through hell. And I just thought, wow, no one, unless you speak to people, no one wants to admit that. So what you see when, you know, you can't believe what you see on social media. So especially when it comes to marriage, so don't compare yourself to this pretend fairy tale marriage that is on Instagram or on, you know, whatever, Facebook. You know, focus on your own marriage. That would be the key. Focus on making your own marriage strong.
And be contented and understand. Like, I think we forget that there's qadr and there's risk and barakah, and we can increase our barakah and by doing good deeds and by being grateful. And I think when you're grateful, you start really, like, the doors just open. That's what I've noticed, is like when you start thinking Allah for every little thing, every big thing, you start seeing so much things you never noticed before, because you're just so busy comparing that you're failing to see your blessings. And I would have people telling me, you know, this and this and this. And I would think to myself, oh my God, I didn't even like acknowledge it myself. You know, I'm so, you know, focused on getting somewhere and improving and making it better. I think even as parents, we do that. We just want our kids to be better and better and better. And we fail to just appreciate them at their level and at this time. And I think we do the same in our marriages.
And the final thing I'd say, and it's interesting, I only came to this realization in the last few years, is that so I was raised a Muslim, married, you know, Muslim, my husband's Muslim, and we try our best to follow Islam and obey Allah as, you know, as much as we can. When I started, I can now see that kind of non-Muslim influences and ideas started to impact the way I was viewing my role as a wife, and just even the way that me and my husband, the marriage was structured. Mm-hmm. And I would say that it was down to, you know, kind of being influenced by feminist ideas. Wow. And what's funny is I wasn't even aware of it. It's actually when I started to research, what was it? Oh yeah, I was researching what's causes doubts. It was for a podcast about what's causing Muslim teenagers to doubt Islam. And when I was looking into what's causing young Muslim women to not want to, you know, take on the role of a wife and get married, and they'd rather, you know, basically that wasn't being valued. It then made me look at my ideas about marriage and being a wife, and then that clicked that, hold on, I've adopted some of these ideas.
Yeah, so I guess that, you know, that's a very good point, and that was actually my next question was, so how do you think that the feminism has impacted women being good wives? Because I mean, I can see it as well, you know, how our daughters are thinking today, and the new generation is just, you know, all about women's rights, but no one's saying anything about being just and fair to all gender. And as well as treating your husband well has become such a taboo topic that even if you believe in it, you want to stay quiet because you get attacked. So what would you say is being the biggest impact on women?
Well, if we, it's interesting. I did a whole season of this in my podcast. So I'm not going to, if any of the listeners would like to get a detailed explanation and understanding of feminism, please have a listen to them. But I'm going to give you like the brief view of it. And the main thing to understand about feminism is that it's a movement that came about to give equal rights to men and women. That so basically any rights that men have, this feminism believes women should also have those rights. So there should be equality in the roles, responsibilities, whether that's in the public life, private life, education, politics, work. That has been the ongoing goal of the women's movement. So it, yeah, as we know, it started. Like yeah, and so it does sound good, doesn't it? And so it started off, as we know, with the vote, but and then to rights in the work, and you know, having you know, abortion rights, having the right to equal pay. So. And the thing is that we must remember that this is a very, it's a Western, it's a movement that began in the West, and it's a secular movement. So it's taking away, you know, God doesn't come into it at all. That's what we have to be really clear about. It's a movement that whatever rights men have, that's what women should have. And religion has got nothing to do with it. So if we understand that, that's really important to understand. So therefore now what you then have is, okay, so as over time, and let's talk about where we are now. Where we are now with feminism is that some people say, well, actually women, that equality of having, you know, we want to focus on marriage. So equality in marriage, what does that mean? So what that means is that when it comes to roles, chores, so anything in the home, a feminist would say to you that it should be equal. You know, the housework should be distributed, taking care of the kids. It shouldn't just be the role of the woman, or the majority of it shouldn't be done by a woman. The man and the husband and the wife should do it. You know, when it comes to, so, you know, so that, and so therefore when, if, as far as going out to work, yeah, women and men should be able to go to work. They should both be breadwinners, and they should, and therefore that's like an ideal feminist marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. That's the theory. But if we now, what I'd like to do is go back a little bit that, it's interesting that when you look at feminists, they question the whole idea of marriage. And this is something that not many people think about. But in the 1970s, the sexual revolution happened, and the 60s and 70s. And it started off in America. And the basic idea of the sexual revolution was that, again, women and men, when it comes to choosing who your partner is, whether you decide if you want to get married or not, if you want to sleep around or not, basically men and women should be able to do that. No one should tell a man, and no one should be telling a woman what they want to do when it comes to sexuality. Therefore, it was called a sexual revolution. So as in, we don't want to, the idea of you have to get married, you shouldn't have a relationship, a sexual relationship before marriage. That was the 1950s. Now everything was that, no, we want to have, we want to be liberated. We want to be free to express ourselves. So now if you, that's quite, what that means, the way it played out was that the marriage then was not valued anymore. If you're saying to people, you know, you're free to get married or not get married, sleep around, have an abortion, if you want to be homosexual, if you know, this was the time when the pill came out, so now there wasn't a problem that you could, for women, you could now have a one night stand and you're not going to get pregnant. That's the freedom it gave a woman. So this is happening in the 1960s. So from that point onwards, marriage declined it started off in the US, and then globally you see it happening. And there's a really interesting statistics from the US that in the US, 79% of over 18s were married. That was in the 1960s. So let's say, round it up, 80% of over 18s were married. And then by 2009, only 45% of the ages a bit higher, 25 to 34 year olds were married. So you can see there was a definite decline in marriage, because now you didn't, the one religion had was, although I know in America people are still religious, you still, the idea, basically the whole the idea and the whole view that you have to get married, that basically started to disintegrate. And the things, and that is, so for Muslims, that's a problem, because we believe the complete opposite, that that Allah's given us the instinct that we want to, you know, have companionship, we want to be in love, you know, we want to have children, but it has to all happen within the framework of marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with what you've mentioned, how is it impacting Muslim wives? Because, you know, when you, what you're saying, you know, as a Muslim woman, you were like, well, I, you know, definitely can't follow that because it goes against my religion and my values. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is it impacting Muslim women as well?
Yeah. So now what you then have, okay, so if you're living in a society, so we're living in societies which value that marriage is now not valued. That's not seen as sacred. It's not seen as that you have to do everything you can to protect it. You know, it's for now, maybe for us, because we're older, we then never went down that route that, okay, I'm going to have a boyfriend, or maybe I'll just live with, if I want to marry someone, instead of, you know, having an arranged marriage. And when we say arranged marriage, a marriage where, you know, we get to talk to the person we want to marry, we get to meet the families, we get to know them in a halal way. Now you're living in a society which is saying to women, you don't even need to get married, and marriage isn't even that important. So therefore, it impacts us in that we, and I think maybe more the younger generation, that if something isn't valued anymore, why do you have, number one, are you going to work really hard to keep your marriage together when the rest of society is saying to you, it's not that important, what's the big deal? That's just one, like a general view of how marriage is not valued. But then also,
So you're saying it maybe could impact the divorce rate amongst Muslims?
Yeah, thank you. That's
okay.
Yeah, that's so there's a clear, and the thing is, the divorce rate in UK, it's 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's the society we're living in. And again, we have to think, not only like we're seeing it in the movies, we're hearing the songs, we're watching, you know, it's not like we're immune to it, and we don't live in a bubble. We're living in a society which is saying, you know, you don't need to value marriage. If you want to then getting divorced has become easier, much easier now.
And also men are financially more independent. Mm-hmm. So I think in the past also women felt that they were worried about their security, and now it's just so much easier. You don't feel like you will lose a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Now the thing is, in Islam, being as a woman, we know that if you earn money, you can keep it, and so that is you're right. It's one of the things that, so we were always given that right by Allah, but it's interesting that for non-Muslim women, that was definitely that was one reason that they view that, okay, we needed a husband because we needed his money. Yeah. And now we don't need his money anymore. Therefore, why do we need a husband? You know, it's one, that was the kind of logic that, and there's books written on this. But so just looking at the big picture, as Muslim wives, we're living in a society that devalues, that openly devalues, and feminists will, and there is that idea, why do you need to get married? That's what they're asking. Why can't you cohabit? Yeah. Why can't you, and again, cohabit with a same-sex relationship? You don't even have to marry. You don't even need a man.
That point you mentioned, I think, and I'm talking maybe from, you know, with the girlfriend and you don't need to marry thing. I think that would be a definitely happening, but maybe, you know, parents who have been more watchful and they're more strict maybe with their kids. I think what I'm noticing is that the girls and the boys are saying, we don't need to get married anytime soon because we want to have a strong career. We want to finish our studies. And so sometimes I think it's not only about the choice to just have the, you know, illicit relationship. It is also putting it on the back burner because that's not important anymore.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's because, you know, if you think of, you know, it's the attitude you have towards marriage before you get married is just as important as the attitude you have once you get married. And so I guess that's why I was talking a little about how society views marriage. And when, again, I would advise everyone that do your own research, that it's not me. I'm not bashing feminists for the sake of it. You know, I have, you know, in some respects, the fact that they talk about women's the abuses that happen to women, that is a good thing. And when they speak the truth, that's fine. You know, that's a good thing. And back in, you know, from when the feminist movement first began, the Victorian times, they were oppressed. They didn't have the rights that Allah gave us. So they couldn't vote. They couldn't get an education. They couldn't inherit. So rightly so, they demanded those rights. But looking at it today, we need to, you know, be more intelligent and actually take, before we adopt any idea as a Muslim, we need to then study it. So now then, okay, when it then comes into, so a Muslim woman, she's married, we're a wife, how are these ideas affecting us? The main issue is it's the idea of equality. Mm-hmm. Now, in Islam, equality has a specific meaning, so just the same as, you know, when we think of prayer, Islam has a very specific definition of prayer, you know, ibadah. So we know it's so salah is, there's details, there's rules, we follow them. We don't muck around with salah, do we? No one goes around changing. Anyone who tried to change the rules and guidance Allah gave about salah, we would say that's not salah anymore. Yeah, you can't call that salah anymore. You're doing something. You're doing something that you want to. Don't pretend it's salah now. In the same way, Hajj has rules. There's a clear definition. So now, in the same way, when it comes to equality in Islam, we understand very clearly Allah's created men and women equal. That Allah clearly tells us that in the Quran. And there's actually, I'd like to give the eye about that, because it's always better to this is a hadith. All people are equal as the teeth of a comb. There is no claim of merit of an Arab over non-Arab, or of a white over a black person, or male over female. Only God-fearing people merit a preference with Allah. So the thing that raises us in Allah's eyes is our God, God-fearing, if we have taqwa. That's what makes a Muslim man or woman, you know, better in the eyes of Allah. There's also in Surah 3, Ayah 195, Allah says, I will not lose sight of any who labours in my way, whether male or female, you are of one another. So again, that's the evidence to show men and women in Islam are equal. Yeah. So that's where equality, our, we are judged equally in Allah's eyes. So that's our view of equality. Now, feminists are saying to us, in your marriage, you should be equal, as in your role and your responsibilities should be equal. Now, in Islam, Allah's given us different roles, clearly different roles. As what should a husband do? So, for example, a husband he's the provider, yeah? He should work, and he should spend his money on his wife and his children and take care of them, yeah? And that's his responsibility. A woman hasn't been given that responsibility. In Surah 4, Ayah 34, Allah says, men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has given the one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. So that's the husband's role. The wife's role is different. So in Surah 2, Ayah 228, Allah says, wives have rights similar to their obligations, according to what is recognized to be fair, and husbands have a degree of right over them. And the degree over them here is that Allah has given the husband, he's the emir of the house. So for example, when it comes to decisions, he should consult his wife, But when the final decision, it is his. But he isn't, again, there's actually a lot of detail regarding he shouldn't be a dictator, he shouldn't be harsh, he shouldn't physically harm his wife. Or there's a lot of detail about what makes a good husband. But generally, that is the way, you know, the wife takes care of the home, the children. So Allah's given us clearly defined roles. And if you look, and it's not equal in the way that a feminist would say it should be equal. And then therefore right. they say it's wrong. And therefore you're oppressed if you do that and you're backward. And so that's the problem we're facing, that feminists are telling us, no, this is all wrong. You need to be equal. Whereas our creator is saying, no, this is the, I know best because I created you. And this is the way you should structure your family. And this is what will give you tranquility.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, like, I think it's just a definition, like what they consider equality mm-hmm. and what is, you know, actual equality. And mm-hmm. what I learned when I was starting to go into this very thoroughly was that, you know, we want equality, but when you follow the guidelines of Islam, you actually, as a woman, feel more privileged. You know, when I started to let go of a lot of the things that I felt I had to be in control of, because society makes you feel guilty, you know, when you just want to be a stay-at-home mom mm-hmm. and you want to raise children, it's like, oh, is that all you do? You know, so you start, even though, you know better, your guilt comes and it's trying to tell you, well, you need to do more, it's not enough.
Yeah.
That's when I was my most stressed. When I let go of those ideals and silly notions, I started noticing that my life got a lot easier and I wasn't burdened as much. And I saw how amazing it is if we just follow what we're supposed to do instead of trying to change what's already perfect, which mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, I know. And I think that I wasted a lot of time. And like, again, we are not criticizing women who go out to work. You know, like, you know, Allah's allowed us to do that. Allah's given us that right. And again, getting an education. But what's happened here is that we, and I know I was copying the blueprint that non-Muslim women are following. So that I did that, you have your family, but then you can have a career and you can earn your money. And what I didn't realize was, what was I neglecting? Yeah, I was in, who was suffering? I was suffering because I was trying to be a breadwinner and a homemaker. And so therefore, I'm going out to work and all my energy is outside the home. So when I'm coming home, it was stressful and I'm still doing all the housework.
Exactly. And, yeah. It doesn't ever work like the 50-50 they claim. And you know, at the end of the day, Farah, what I've noticed is that even if we said, okay, we want 50-50 and we get let our husbands cook and see to the kids, I don't know about you, but most women would not be happy with how he does it. So we just do it ourselves anyway.
Yeah, and it's the thing is that what dawned on me was that why am I letting a bunch of women or dictate to me? So they're telling me I'm free and I can do whatever I want, but I'm allowing them to decide how I live my life instead of allowing my creator. I'm supposed to be slave of Allah, but I'm being a slave to my work. You know, I'm obeying my boss instead of obeying my husband. You know, I spoke to her sister about this and she said that when she was working, she goes, she said exactly that. She goes, my boss is telling me what time I need to be in. If I have to do overtime, I have to take his calls. And that boss could be a woman or a man. But she goes, so I'm allowing my boss to dictate to me my life. And when my husband asks me, can you make me a cup of tea? I'm getting angry with him. Why can't you just make it yourself? But this other boss is just clicking his fingers and I'm doing for the sake of money, ultimately. As money, and then I'm prestige, you know, with money and you get status and to be able to say to everyone, oh, I'm ahead of English or I'm ahead of a school, yeah. Whatever.
And, yeah, and it's simply pleasure. It's not long lasting. At the end of the day, you're alone with your troubles.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's what, I guess what we're saying here, we're not, no one's judging anyone for the choices they've made, but what, just like we're telling everyone to just pause and think, like just stop And if you've got, you know, we all have problems in our marriages, but we need to think, maybe have we caused them by adopting un-Islamic ideas? And that's quite hard to admit, to admit that, you know, no one wants to say, no, I'm gonna, and I was exactly in that situation. I didn't want to give up my work because I felt like, I am just a housewife. That's it.
And your own family and friends criticize you. So you feel you are, you don't have any support when you do it the traditional way.
Yeah, no, definitely. And again, it's because of the society we're living in. And we have to just wake up and think, don't just be a sheep. Don't be like this passive person who just, because ultimately all the only people who benefit from wives and mothers not embracing their Islamic role that Allah's given is you're just another cog in the workforce. You know, you're just, that's it. You're literally a slave to capitalism. That's it. And you know, when Allah says, the son of Adam will not be happy, it's a hadith, sorry, that, you know, if we're given one mountain of gold, we'd want another one. You know, we will never be happy with the amount of wealth we get. So just working yourself and neglecting, and it is neglecting our homes, neglecting our husbands, neglecting our children, we'll die alone with a large bank account. How is that going to lead to happiness?
No, it's so true. You've made some really amazing points, and I'm going to be asking some other questions, but we can just go through it briefly because I know we've been a while already. I guess, you know, I'm very curious to know, what do you think a husband needs most from his wife and why? I think many of us don't understand sometimes what exactly we need to do, especially now that you've, you know, enlightened us with all this. What would you think?
I think, you know, we have to go back to studying the hadith and ayah relating to marriage, you know, reading about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a husband, the advice he gave to husbands and to wives, because there's so much, so many gems, so much, so much wisdom, isn't it, that Allah's giving us through the lived example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And, you know, he had many marriages, so there were different marriages, different types of wives, but he and then there's his example, and then there's the Sahaba, and I think we owe it to ourselves to do that, because there are many books written by non-Muslims on marriage counseling and marriage advice and fix your marriage, and Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, you know, there's that other one, How to Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, that's another one. And I would say, okay, they're there, but let's first go to our original source, you know, the truth, basically, and make an effort, because if you want a strong marriage, that has to be, and make the time to do that. And we do have time. It's just, we have to feel there's a need. And first do that. And then, okay, then for non-Muslims, I think you can get some practical tips and advice that, you know, I'm not, you know, there definitely some wisdom there. But if you've got the framework of Islam, if you're looking at their advice from the lens of Islam, then when things contradict Islam, okay, I'm not going to take that. But this part doesn't, so I can adopt that.
And I think we mentioned in our, when you had interviewed me on your podcast, we had mentioned that, you know, there is a movement out there, the trad wife movement. Most of them, well, there's very few, but the women who are doing that, I noticed a lot of their values align with our Islamic values. So that would be a good place if you can't find information, or you want to, you know, emphasize more and get more details. So we can definitely, you know, link up to that podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, finally, I think that, you know, I'd love to know, and I know the listeners would as well, is what tips have helped you the most in making your marriage thrive? So I'm going to ask you.
I think I don't try to, wear the pants in the house. You know, that's a bit like, I've come to it, once it dawned on me, and Alhamdulillah, thank Allah for guiding me. But once I realised that, you know, my husband, he Allah has given him the role of in any organisation, you have to have a boss. You have to have one boss. And this might be like a really simplistic way of looking at it, but every organisation that work, for it to work, someone has to have, you know, the final say. And a good boss asks, you know, the co-workers and the other managers, ask them for their advice, then, you know, in their area of expertise, they ask them, and then they make a decision. And again, they're not dictatorial and they're not harsh to the other members of the organization. I know there are difficult marriages, there are oppressive husbands, but there are oppressive wives as well. You know, if you have like serious problems in marriage, you have to go and get help, as in you have to get a family involved, you know. You know, so that's something aside when you have real, you know, really big problems. When I changed my mindset, that I accepted that Allah's given my husband the role of being the emir, and that I would wisely give my point of view to him. So I wouldn't shout, I wouldn't demand that he listens to me. And also sometimes he does, we should be humble and honest. When we don't know something, they know more than us, admit it. Yeah, we don't know everything. There is this, like, I know one thing I really don't like about society nowadays is that the role of the husband and father is disrespected. It's become okay to make fun of the husband, or even in sitcoms and comedies, and, you know, it's like the idiot husband, whereas the mum,
she's the smart one.
Yeah, and she's, and actually then there's the other idea that the kids are the really smart ones. Both the parents are idiots. Oh, yeah. So I think I will, you know, I've accepted my role. And again, it's men, alhamdulillah, I've actually taken off. Like I've taken on too much onto my shoulders, and I've just let my husband do what he needs to. And I don't put more on my plate than Allah's told me to. And that's been really good.
And, you know, I think a good point to ask, because I think we women take on our plate thinking we're saving our husbands. But they, from what I've learned of a man's nature, he wants to save you and you make him feel incompetent. So just because you've done it already, has your husband ever said, oh, you've put too much on my plate? You know, why are you shoving this all on my end now? You used to do it. Did he ever say that?
No, never. It's... you know, I would definitely say I was more bossy before and more controlling.
We all are guilty of that.
Yeah, and just wanted to, there's this idea that somehow women know everything. A couple of women said this to me, actually, that, you know, it's like women are perfect and men are idiots, and we have to tell, oh, it's like they're another child and we have to do everything. Yeah.
And do you think of their husbands as children?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Only when you start, you really notice that in movies and in books and in comedies. Only when, before I used to laugh at that, and now I think that's really rude. That's really derogatory. It was. So that would be that. My main advice is that don't just stay in your lane as a wife. Stick to the lane Allah's given you. So that just do that, inshallah.
Those are some amazing tips that I know that, I mean, some of them I knew, but I think when you expanded on it, it's even a reminder to me, who I've done so much research on marriage, and I want to talk so much about it, because like you said, there's not a lot of women who are speaking for the traditional mom or the traditional wife. And like I said, for want of a better term, I don't know, but it seems like that's the one to explain, that when you just want to be a proud, you're happy and proud to take on your roles. So I am so grateful for you coming on, Farhad, and thank you so much for your wisdom and knowledge. And I will leave all the links back so people can hear all your other podcasts. And thank you. May Allah reward you.
Oh, it's Zakia. Pleasure was all mine.